We're live.
Good evening, everyone. I'd like to call the study session of the University City City Council meeting to order on October 13, 2025 at 6 p.m. You have before you the agenda for the regular session. Are there any requested changes to the agenda at this time? Hearing none. Mr. Rose.
Honorable Mayor and Council members, tonight we have the pleasure of hearing from the Stormwater Commission. The chair of the commission was invited out to provide both the council as well as the community with greater insights into their rain monitoring system. So I would invite the representative to the podium.
If you push the button on the bottom, it'll turn on the green light. And then if you guys will just introduce yourselves, then we can just move forward from there. And thank you both for coming this evening.
It's our pleasure. I'm Todd Thompson. I'm the chairman of the Stormwater Issues Commission and invited Phil Easton. He can introduce himself and he has a short presentation to give.
Thank you, Todd. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Phil Easton. You have the pleasure of having the newbie on the Stormwater Commission presenting the request for funding for the stormwater monitoring system. So thank you for allowing us to present to the council this evening. So you've gotten a handout that's got some nifty pictures of some of the installations we've installed over the last couple of years. But the grist of the meeting is over the past 4 or 5 years, following the 2015 flood, River to Pear, the Stormwater Commission determined we needed more granular information to provide the city as far as monitoring and making warnings accessible to the public. So in 2019, the commission installed level sensors in the river. We've got 9 of them operating today. In 2020, we installed rain gauges in the river, and we've got 3 sets of rain gauges in the river. So what that's allowed us to do is measure rainfall, measure the river levels, correlate those. And Dr. Bob Chris has developed algorithms to allow us to use that information. It's pretty simple. Rate of rainfall, rate of river rise, we can calculate out with a high level of accuracy what the predictive water levels, flood levels are in River to Pear. So that was a quick overview of what we're doing today. Over the last year, we've installed radar level sensors into the river. Okay, and that's allowed us to have online data that we collect every 5 minutes. That correlates with the rain gauges that are always on. And when it's raining, we're collecting data every 5 minutes. When there's a rate of rainfall of about an inch an hour, that rate increases from every 5 minutes collecting data to every minute collecting data. And as that data is collected, it's being fed to an algorithm that's then predicting the water levels of the River to Pear. And if you'll look in one of your pages, there'll be a graph. I also presented several other graphs just to chew on. But the purpose is these charts show a predictive and then an actual level of rain collected on the data system. So here, the first one is April 24. The red's a predicted level. The blue is the observed level stage. And with 95% accuracy, we're able to predict the river level of River to Pear when it's going to flood with about a 30-minute warning system. To give you some kind of reference to that, if we're being issued a National Weather Service tornado warning. 97% of those tornado warnings have about a 16-minute extension time or rate of looking at it. So we've got about twice that. Sometimes we're a little longer, but all of our data shows that 95% of our accuracy is we're within 30 minutes of when the actual flood stage can occur. That's not a lot of time when you're dealing with flash floods because they come and go. In the chart, you'll see that there's a April 24, a November 24. There's a July 24, 2024, and there's a July 2025. So all those have different events. Sometimes there's multiple events during the day, but these are all recorded. And this is all due to the algorithms that were developed by Dr. Chris. So it's very unique. The system will correlate with the National Weather Service CRS, which is the community monitoring systems. So that impacts the federal insurance for the University City residents in the floodplain. So that's the big crunch of what we've done the last 4 years. And what I want to talk about now is funding for the automation of this. Right now, all this data is managed by one person. That's Dr. Chris. So he's kind of our walking, talking computer. And I can speak freely because we're the same age. Our years of usefulness are diminishing quickly. So it's important that we move forward with the automation of the system. So, part in here, we've got two phases that we developed. The first phase is right now we're running on two databases. We have Fondrice equipment, which is high quality, high end instrumentation, the rain gauges and the radar level sensors. That is on what's called a WQ Data Live. That's a cellular database that we pay Fondrice for. When we went to install cameras, Fondrice didn't have cameras. We asked to put our own camera systems in place. They didn't want to do that. We're working now with a local company. It's a IoT, Internet of Things. So the company is iNeighborhood, and they have a 4G IoT system. That's the base system is over at the Greek Temple. That's their office. So we've got a communication system, IoT, starts here. There's one at the high school. So that looks down on the river. There's another one being installed in Brittany Woods. And then there's a 4 series up on Olive near Lindbergh Avenue in that area. So what we've asked Dave Fondell to do is to convert the Fondrice information data onto the iNeighborhood system. So we'll have our own private network that's collecting all of our data continuously. So that's phase one. The price or cost to do that is $7,000. And there's a $950 license fee for iNeighborhoods to access the WQ Data Live information. So that'll convert all the data that's now been being managed by Bob, Chris, into one software package, development package, and then we'll be online. So that information will be provided to the safety department, the fire chief. And then the next phase is to take that data and program it for the algorithms. So then the information will be operating live continuously. And while we're doing that, we'll be automating the 5 minute intervals. So when there's 1 inch of rainfall in the river basin, we'll start collecting data. Instead of every 5 minutes, we'll start collecting data every 1 minute. That'll be automated. And then conversely, when the rain rates go away, it'll revert back to the 5 minute time. The reason for doing that, you can only collect so much data and manage it. And there's always a cost for managing storage in the data. So Right now, we're currently spending about $3,000 a year on instrument cell service. So it's kind of $55 a month thereabouts for 9 pieces of equipment. Some of that, half of it, $3,000 a year or so, goes to Fond Rai system. And then the other remaining goes to the iNeighborhood. So that'll still be occurring, but we'll have the, it'll allow us to automate the full notification of the flood warnings. And again, you know, 95% accuracy. We're pretty much a little bit high on our rate of predictability. We may be predicting, say, 11 feet of level, and we may only get 10 feet of level, but we figure it's better to be a little over predictive than under predictive. The final piece that we're not asking for funding today is the red alert. So that will then allow our system to automatically send out cell calls or some notification to the public or to city councilmen if they're interested, or to whoever's interested. We'll have that ability. So we'll take the human touch out of it. This will all be automated. So what we're asking for is $20,000 approximately, $7,000 for phase one development, $7,000 for phase two development, and then the recurring annual fees of about $3,000. So total of about $18,000-$19,000. So that in a nutshell is what we're proposing to do. Trying to move on. Do you have any questions I can answer or try to answer, or concerns?
Are there questions from members of council? Councilmember Brotherson.
Thank you, Mayor Crow. Thank you for the presentation. And just wanted to ask, so we have three or four cameras right now. How many are active?
We have three that are ours that are active, and we have a fourth one, iNeighborhoods, on one of their private systems that we have access to.
And are these cameras active right now?
Yes.
But they're not available. But they're not available to the city as of right now.
Yes, they are.
I'm sorry.
Yes, they are.
They are. How can the community actually view those,
we have a website.
You do have a website.
And I don't know it offhand, but Councilman Fuller may know it because he's been involved with it. He might have it. I gave it to him a few weeks ago. So there is a website that the information's available. So we have both the rain gauge information's available to the public, the river level sensor information's available to the public, and the pictures are available to the public.
Okay, and that is, and we just need to get the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. And but that's, is that connected to the city's website right now?
No, I don't think so. It's connected to the Stormwater Commission website, that information is provided to the fire department. Yeah.
Okay.
It should be.
Yeah. And then how can we make that, once we make this process happen, once this council approves this, and we go through phase one and two and we approve that, how soon can we get that attached to the city's website so that the public would then have access?
That would be up to the city.
I don't know if that's a question for you or Mr. Rose.
That would be up to the city.
You understand the question.
Honorable Mayor, Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, I believe that our fire department will be looking to gain access. And so one of the questions is, who is it on the Stormwater Commission that they should best work with in order to gain access to the system that they are creating? Because you are using public funds, we have to make sure that that there is the appropriate oversight that is needed to ensure that the public has access, especially our public safety areas. So I don't have an answer for you, but what we'll do is follow up with the Stormwater Commission chair and then identify who the fire department should be working with to gain the access that they need.
So right now, the contacted primary contract would be Bob Criss, because he's the one that's managing. Dr. Criss is managing University City rainwater and river level constantly every day, whether it's raining or not, he's looking at it. So I refer to him as our walking, talking computer, because he's our automation system today. So, but that all this based on providing the fire department, the fire chief, the information he needs to know where our goal is to have a watch, flood watch level yellow, and a code red warning. So very similar to the National Weather Service tornado warnings. So there's been a level of activation, awareness, and a level of danger that goes out. And that'll be the responsibility, the property or possession of the fire chief or his designee.
And then lastly, so I guess we'll get the website from you and or the city manager at some given point in time.
Mayor Pro Tem Smotherson, that's correct. One of the things we want to make sure that we're doing is reconciling the operations of our fire department, public safety operations, with what the Stormwater Commission is creating. A good example of that is the Code Red application. We already have that. Fire department is the one who oversees it. So that might be something where they may not need additional funding for that type of system, simply can incorporate what they're doing with our fire department operations.
Mr. Thiemann.
Honorable Mayor, my fellow council members, it has been my honor, really, to work with the Stormwater, going back to the Stormwater Task Force, and to be an observer of these matters since Paulette Carr sat in this very desk and initiated much of this. I would point out a couple of things just to reinforce what has been said. The ability they have developed to predict the storm water and the actual outcome of the storm water, if you look at the graphs, are almost identical. I have to say that this is not, shall we say, overly idealistic, pie-in-the-sky environmentalism. This is environmentalism that can save people's lives. And I think that what they are asking is cheap at any price, because it literally can save people's lives. I want to reinforce the fact that the algorithms that predict this outcome of a possible flood and what the possible flood, the tracking of it, are almost identical on this, and it should be taken into account. And I want to thank all these scientists and engineers for allowing an old school teacher and a poet to sit alongside them and observe them, because they've done extraordinary work.
Other questions or comments? Councilmember Fuller.
First of all, thank all you guys for doing this. I'm the older liaison, and this has always been a great, these are not meetings. These are like education systems to sit down with you guys. So I also, you have it on the paper. Eric Stein was an early member of this. And unfortunately, Eric lost his battle about a year ago. And he and Bob Criss initiated all this instrumentation. And we recognized them at council meetings about a year ago. But I'm just doing that again. Great job, all of you. What are we going to do to get this going then? We just submit a proposal through to you or through
right. We will kick off our budget process in Great. January. And so Marilla is the liaison to this commission. So she'll work with them to ensure that we create a proposed budget for your consideration.
Phil, if I can follow up, I think Dr. Brenner, do you have a question?
Thank you very much, and thank you, Mayor. I just want to say how lucky as a community that we have such dedicated community members, and also this doesn't happen everywhere where you have a group of people working for free to develop an amazing system. And I think we all need to just, well, thank you all, but also just rejoice in our community and how we work together. That's all.
Phil, I guess my question is, I get the accuracy, I get the hours of work that the commission members have put in on this. As we sit here today, though, everything that happens goes to Dr. Chris through the, through his research, and then it kind of stops until he then makes some communication to the fire department. Am I?
No. He's monitoring, and right. when he sees rates of rain that are increasing, that are beginning to look like harm's way, then he kicks the algorithms in and the timing of the instrumentation downloads in. That information is always available, whether it's in 5 minutes steady state or whether it's in 1 minute conditional warning. That information is always available to the fire department.
Always available to the fire department. So there's really not right now a point in time where I'll be simplistic and say Dr. Chris is at dinner and we're waiting for something to happen. Everything is out there and available, correct?
Yes.
And then the other question I guess I would ask, and to the city manager, I would just say, as I look at my colleagues and I realize what we've been through as a community, I'm not certain that we necessarily, for such a small number, need to wait for the entire budget process for that, because that's going to be the end of June. And I think the signature authority or just us giving you a supplemental request would be one, because I mean, I think we've all seen what has happened to our neighbors and our friends and our residents. And if this gets us through, as long as it meets the criteria that the city has for contracting, I think my guess is that the second ward members would want to do the first and the second on the motion to do that, to get this thing through. And I think I'd be with them too. So my thoughts would be that I appreciate the budget process, but this may be one where for such a small number, we may want to consider moving it forward. And I'll leave that to my colleagues from the second ward, because I think you'll probably be the one, and Council Member Smothers has a comment or a question. Yes, sir.
No. I just wanted to make sure you include the third ward also, you know, because I'm a flood victim. But the other question to add along to what you're saying, I understand the algorithm and all that. What I was really asking, and I appreciate what the mayor is saying, but if the cameras are operating, if we can get that visual first, I mean, I think that would be really critical. But what I'm actually asking is not only to the fire department, but to the community, if we can get that out there first, I think that would be a huge impact to the citizens and the community.
That is out there now.
Okay. And we just need access to that.
So we're looking at this from qualitative cameras, quantitative data. So the engineers assigned us, we want to look at the quantitative data. We want the numbers. That creates our picture. But for the fire chief, that's hard to look at. Algorithms and graphs and whatnot. That's why we put the cameras in place. So those have been functional since beginning of this year and available. I've been in water equipment for a long time, and I've spent a lot of time installing systems, and particularly with the new technologies, the microprocessors, the computers we're dealing with, very seldom does the equipment plug in, turn on, and operate as expected. So there's always a lot of tweaks. We've been working on that all year. We did the installation of the level sensors, started that last Thanksgiving. We completed all that by March, April. We got all the cameras installed functional by June of this year. And the cameras have been the easy part. It's the level sensors. There's been a lot of tweaking. We've got two systems operating. So we're really anxious to get this all into one bucket. It's going to make everybody's life easier. And just one other thing. This is not built to the standards of the National Weather Service, CRS, that's the community credit systems. But this will have an impact on flood insurance for University City. So I would propose that the benefits to getting this done sooner than later, I mean, we would like to have this on by the end of the year. That's a big ask. probably won't happen, but at least that's our target.
Councilmember Thiemann.
Honorable Mayor, my fellow council members, I'd like to associate myself with some of the comments that you made. And if there is any way to expedite funding for this, I would be more than happy to join in, because I think this is a life-saving measure. And I commend it.
I think the city manager senses the urgency with people's comments. So are there any other questions on this topic for Phil, Todd, or anyone else with the Stormwater Commission? First off, again, thank you guys for all your work, and Dr. Christ as well. The one thing I would say, since I have a few of you engineers in here, on behalf of our city clerk, we have a couple of commissions that don't really ever meet, but they need an engineer and they need an architect. So I'm just asking you, if you know of anybody, they really don't meet, but by our charter, they have to have an engineer, and then the other one has to have an architect. If you know of anybody who would like to serve their community, not really have to go to too many meetings, we would really appreciate it, because you guys, I know, have done a ton of work on the Stormwater Commission, but we've got a couple of little hitches here in finding people just to sit on some commissions, because we need some expertise. But the commissions don't meet very often. You guys, again, I know I speak on behalf of every single person up here. We appreciate all the work you have done. It is truly, as Councilmember Brenner said, we have a wealth of talent and knowledge in our community. And thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
We will be recessed for 4 minutes if anyone needs a break.